In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is not easy being a follower of Christ. Just ask Peter. As we mentioned last week, Peter has confessed Jesus as the Son of the living God, the Messiah, and he's been called Rocky, the rock on which Christ will build his church. And now, the very next readings, he's Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me. Your mind is set on earthly things, not divine things. I mean, Peter can't get it right. What are we supposed to do? It is not easy to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. He says it right here. If you're to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Too often, we tend to minimize the idea of carrying our cross. Some relatively small inconvenience comes up. Well, that's the cross I'm to bear. What he's talking about here is taking up the means of your own torture and execution. Carry it through town as people yell at you, make fun of you, throw garbage at you, and then be nailed to it and hang there until you die. That's taking up our cross. I hope none of us ever has to take up our cross, has to endure what our Lord endured. And by his own choice. I mean, that's what he's telling Peter here. Look, I've got to go do this. And Peter says, no, you don't. And Jesus knows. He's right. He doesn't have to do this. When he's in the garden praying before his arrest, he says, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Jesus did not want to be crucified. Jesus didn't want to hang there suffocating and drowning in his own fluids at the same time until he was dead. But that was God's will. That was the way. That was what had to happen. And so, yes, he willingly gives his life for us and for our salvation. But he had a choice. And to me, that makes it all the more poignant, all the more glorious. He could have done something else and yet chose to bring salvation to us. And in return, ask us to follow him. And I seriously doubt any one of us will ever have to carry our own means of torture and execution through the streets of Greenville while people make fun of us. It's much easier than that. And yet, much harder in some ways. Paul, in his writing to the Romans, is giving some very practical advice on how to live their lives. Writing to a group of Christians in Rome in the first century, a group formed of both Gentiles and Jews who follow Christ. This is fairly soon after the Jews had finally been allowed to return to Rome. They'd been kicked out for a while. But now they were back in Rome, and they were trying to learn how to live together, Gentiles and Jews who follow Christ, and also how to be a follower of God in the Roman Empire, in the very capital, in the shadow of temples erected to the deity of the emperor. They worship God. Couldn't be easy. And Paul tells them, there's good. Let love be genuine. Hold on to what is good. Look for the good and serve it. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit, inspiring words. And just as true for us today, we too need to be reminded to hold on to what is good. Perhaps the hardest part of it all is when he says to rejoice when others rejoice and weep when others weep. Sometimes we find it easy to rejoice with others, but sometimes it's hard. It's hard to feel happy for someone when they get something that we didn't, that we wanted. And those little green monsters of envy and jealousy start springing up. It's hard to genuinely rejoice with someone sometimes when they get something that we feel we're missing out on. And yet, if it is good, we should be able to rejoice with them. To deny ourselves, our own selfish desires, and earnestly rejoice with our brothers and sisters. We do a fairly better job of weeping when others weep. Our hearts go out to the victims in Texas and Louisiana and flooding. I mean, we know floods. We know the devastation it can cause. And we give and we help and we pray and we support and all those things. We weep while they're weeping. But not always. Sometimes, like when we can't find it easy to rejoice in others rejoicing, we find it hard to weep when others weep. How many times have I heard someone say, "I'm not offended by the Confederate flag"? And I'm not. I'm Southern. I don't sound like it, but I am Southern. I was born in Macomb. There's not too much south of Macomb except the Gulf of Mexico. My friends from South Carolina think they live in the South. I got to go north to get there. And yet, I want to weep with those who weep, who can't look at those symbols and rejoice, who are hurt by it, who feel pain. I am called to feel their pain, to weep when they weep, even if I don't feel it myself. I'm to have empathy and love and caring, even if I don't really understand, but to know that they are in pain. And I can't rejoice while they weep. It's not easy being a follower of Christ. It's not easy loving your enemies. And yet Paul tells us, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Our Lord commands, love your enemies. Not at all easy to do. Now, Paul gives us a little loophole here. You can be cynical about it. Yeah, if I'm nice to them, that'll kill them. That's not what we're supposed to do. The idea is that by loving our enemies, we make them our friends. We bring them in. Abraham Lincoln once said that if I am kind to my enemy and he becomes my friend, I've destroyed my enemy. That's what we're called to do. Just as Christ destroyed the hold of sin and death on humanity, we are called to love our enemies into friendship. So much easier to write them off. So much easier to feel anger. And yet, vengeance belongs to God. Let God worry about that. It's above our pay scale. We just know we are to love. To love as we have been loved. To love so much that we give ourselves, we deny ourselves. We're willing to take up our cross. We're willing to follow where our Lord has trod. And yeah, I think we would stand up and shout, "Yes, I will give my life for you." But will we live our lives for Him? Will we weep when others weep and rejoice when others rejoice? Will we love our enemies? We let love be genuine. That is what we're called to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.